sorry. Also to say to be against what is happening in Palestine is not to be anti-Jewish, because many Palestinians are Jewish, many are Christian, many are Muslim, many are atheists. Also to say that we as a community of faith have to realize that our prayers have power. And so whatever you do in the coming weeks, just keep praying for peace. Keep praying for hope. I told you back in March before I left, I think I left a few days after I was here, that in January, a friend of mine came to me and said, you know, since your husband died, you died with him. It was a shock. It was a real shock because I kind of had, right? It's been 5 years, but I kind of just let my life kind of be safe and uninvolved. And so it was shortly after that that I got an email from Sabil, which is a Christian peace group that goes into Palestine and listens. That's all they do. They just go in and listen. And so it was going to happen at Holy Week. So I thought, sure, you want to re-engage with the world again, that's the way to do it, right? So what I did after I left here was I went to Ireland for a week to meet with in-laws, and then I went down to Jordan for a while, and then I went over to Israel, and then I crossed into Palestine, and then I did the reverse about 10 days later. I'm trying to find a way to get this all organized in my head to tell you. The reason why I chose this very scripture, Braden, can we go to the first slide? This is the Hebron Valley in Palestine, Jerusalem. And at the very, very, very end of it, there is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus wept. And this is Monday, Thursday, by the when this is happening. And after Jesus was arrested, they walked him along this route up to Gaiaphas' house. So it's about 2 kilometers. So that's what we all did that night, was we walked through that route. This is significant because so many of the radical Christians believe that right there, Jesus is going to return in that space right there. And when he returns, he will wipe out all the anger and all the bad people. When I worked on the downtown east side, I had so many people who would come to me with the book of Revelation with hope in their heart, hoping that Jesus would actually return and that Jesus would return as per the book of Revelation dictates. And when I would say to them, you realize the violence that's involved, and for that to come true, there has to be total chaos and war in the Middle East. And they would say, sure, as long as Jesus just comes and just wipes out all the bad people. Well, you can go far with that, right? Who are all the bad people? What do you mean by bad people? But what's happening in the Middle East right now, a lot of people are thinking Jesus is going to come, and he's going to come right there any day now, because there's so much hate and so much violence going on. It's also believed by the Jewish people that when the Messiah comes, the Messiah is going to come right there, the Jewish Messiah. I told you, I think, when I was here before, when I worked with the rabbi in Toronto, that he told me that it's the belief of the Jewish people that if everyone in the world, or maybe meant just Jewish people, but every person would be good and kind for 1 minute at the same time, that the Jewish Messiah would come there in that place. So that night we walked from the garden up to the praetorium and through. And then we went back to our hotel. And we all sat around and we talked about what was that experience? How did you feel? And And I used the quote that I learned on the downtown East Side, which was, religion is for those people who are afraid of going to hell. Spirituality is for those who have been there. So on the downtown East Side right now, there are so many people who are clinging to God, clinging to the book of Revelation, clinging to the hope that God is just going to come in and wipe it out and peace will come. Braden, can we do the next slide, please? So what's happening in Palestine? This is Ramallah. This is a library in Ramallah. When I was there, I studied Palestinian liberation theology. And I know I talked to you in the spring about Latin liberation theology. And liberation theology is when a couple of priests began and realized that what they were teaching in their sermons and in their conversations was not the teachings of Christ. They were actually teaching colonialism. So they sat down and really rewrote theology or Christology. And they said, to read the scriptures, to read it from poverty. To read the scriptures, to read it from a place of need and want and hurt. To read the scriptures, to read it through the eyes of Pentecost. And Pentecost was when Peter stands up and says, things are changed because we now know how much power that we have. We now know that we have all been given an ability to change the world. So liberation theology really upset a lot of people because it changed the goals that Jesus, that what had been taught for so many years, which was oppressive. So Palestinian liberation theology, what they do is they teach their children through libraries like this. They teach them to love, to honor, to say, what would Jesus do? What are the needs? How do we need to live in a place of hope and possibility? This library, I should tell you, Ramallah, when I was there in Ramallah at the time, and it's in the West Bank, of course, for some reason, there were fighter jets bombing the edge of Ramallah. There's no Hamas in Ramallah. There's no Hamas in Ramallah. This library is made up of houses that the Palestinians were made to tear down, their own homes, the rocks. So what happens, and it goes on daily, is that the Knesset, and let's not say the Jewish people, let's say the political group called the Knesset, the powerful group, goes in and says, we're going to take out your house. We want your house. So tear it down, and if you don't tear it down within a week, we will send in dozers, and then you have to pay us 10,000 shekels. So what happens is they have to do it, or they could go to prison. So what this library did was they started taking those stones and building a library. And in the library, this one in particular, is a place of story. They remember the stories of their people so that the children can learn about their ancestors. And outside there's a garden, and the garden is where trees are planted. You remember in 1948 when the decision was made to recreate Israel and the Palestinian people were just kind of shoved out of their homes, that this camp was set up and people are still living there, but they still have the keys to their homes. So they come and they plant trees in this garden and people pull out the trees, the settlers, but they replant them the next day because they say, at least we have something. We have something. So this young woman is telling the story. You can't see her movement, but she was so amazing telling this story. And teaching us as foreigners about the Palestinian people and the hope of the Palestinian people. I'm going to move to the next one, Braden. So this is East Jerusalem, which is Palestinian. You can tell the difference. The East Jerusalem, it doesn't have a lot of help. It doesn't have a lot of road works or water works, or, I mean, it's basically a slum, even though people of great distinction lived there. So during the last few years, there was a woman who was, there's passive ways of what do I say, protest. So a few years, 2 years ago, there was a woman journalist who had become internationally known and respected, especially within the United Nations. And she was telling the Palestinian story in a lovely way, a peaceful way. Well, one day she was shot, and there's actually a film of the two shots that went at her. What the Palestinian people are doing right there in East Jerusalem, I don't know, can you see the eyes? Well, the one up in this corner is her eyes. Behind it is a garden that the Knesset came in one day and said to a whole row of houses, owners, we're building a park here. And they said, your house has to be down within a week. And there was nothing they could do. So there's another eye up, there's many eyes, but another eye that's up there is of a poet. And he has left behind so many poems that just evoke the passion and the love of the people and the turmoil. So his eye is up there as well, not sure which one. And see the eyes down below? This is passive resistance. Now what's going to happen, and we were told at the time that probably the Knesset will send in some soldiers and they will say, you paint that over or we will tear down your house. So they're taking a chance doing that. Passive ways of trying to get the message across. Next one, Braden. Do you have sound on that? This is the courtyard of the Holy Sepulchre, Church of Resurrection.
Okay, we're moving.
This is Good Friday evening. Can you play it again? So the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or the Church of Resurrection, is the place where they believe Jesus was crucified and then where he was buried. So it's all included there. So on Good Friday, the evening, we all went there. I was with a group of 15 from Seville. We went there and we sang some songs. We had some conversation. It was a very profound time. But the group of Seville had asked us if we would hold up some pictures of children who have been killed in Gaza. Like 18,000 children have been killed. And so we said yes. And they said, it's going to be dangerous. But we said yes. So as we were there, and we held up a picture, and you'll see my girl in a few minutes, who was killed, a picture of her at her birthday party, who was killed at school not too long after. But as we're holding up these pictures, big posters, within 15 minutes, we were surrounded by some heavy dudes. And we also, within another few minutes, the Israeli IDF came with their guns, they're everywheres. And they said to our leader, Omar, take them down or we will shoot you in the head now. And then we will just let loose and shoot everybody in the courtyard. And they would have done it because they get away with so much violence. Want to move again, Braden? So you're allowed to celebrate Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Not celebrate, but you're allowed to recognize it. It was Passover at the time, too. So there was a lot of celebration going on. So you're allowed to recognize it and to gather. But Holy Thursday, or Holy Saturday, and Holy Sunday are not really approved. Even though this sign says, the Israel police wishes a happy holiday to the Christian people in Israel and all over the world on the occasion of the Holy Fire. So the Holy Fire is where they take a fire comes out of the tomb of Jesus. This is at Jaffa Gate. And there are people who have gathered from all over the world with special little lanterns. And all the lanterns get lit. And then they take them back around the world. What you can't see there is there's a line of 14 people with massive guns who would not allow us to go in and see the Holy Fire. So there's one message, and then there's another message. So this is Holy Saturday. Just trying to figure out what to tell you and what not to tell you. War Child. You ever heard of War Child? It's an international group, and the international group that works with places of violence and war, and they protect children as much as they can. They are aware of the rights and of the children. So we spent in the Armenian quarter, we spent a morning with a man who works with War Child, and told us what's happening to the children. And it's horrible. And after that, we went for lunch. And I understood that we needed to support the Palestinian people and their restaurants and everything, but I sat there and then I started crying. And then I had a meltdown. And then I just said, I have to leave. And so, because I've been there a few times, I've been to Jerusalem a few times, so I knew my way around. So the look on the face of the person who was in charge was like, I've got a crying woman on my hand. So I left, and I just walked around the old city. That's all I did. I just walked, and then I walked back to the hotel. It's heartbreaking because there's nothing you can do other than praying and talking to other people. And when you talk to other people about what's going on, you're often told, to speak this way is to be anti-Jewish. No, it's not. To criticize the Knesset is to be anti-Jewish. It's no more anti-Jewish than it is to criticize MAGA and be called anti-Christian. What's happening is a balance of power that is vicious and horrible and heartbreaking. There were so many things that happened the 9 days that I was there. The next slide, please, Braden. This is the little one. This is her birthday party in Gaza. And her school was bombed a few weeks later. So she is one of, 18,000. And the interesting thing is the response of the world has not been, we just don't understand why people are not responding. Can we move on, Braden, to the last one? This is the church in Bethlehem on Easter Sunday morning. Familiar music? Did you get it? Can you play it again, Ray? priest who works there, this is an Anglican church, the priest who works there travels around the world and promotes peace and understanding and asks for prayer, asks for all of us just to listen. For the love of God, listen to what's going on. That this kind of suffering should never be allowed. One of the difficulties for me at the time, I mean, it seems kind of minor, but I was the only Canadian with 15 people from the United States, and lovely, wonderful people, people of faith, people who are clergy, and yet they were being addressed all the time, and they were being chastised for what the United States is doing, and the money, and the bombs, and everything. And I would every once in a while just have a need to go, Canadian. And then I looked up what Canadians are doing. So, I mean, we're not innocent, though there's been some really great movement, and we will be recognizing the state of Palestine in September. I was so amazed. I'm going to end with this. I was so amazed when I was there with how much hope that there is. That if somebody pulls out your tree, you plant another one the next day. If someone burns your car, you buy another one. If someone does something to you, you just keep plodding one foot after the other. But as many told us, and when we were in Mala, we spoke to many Palestinian Christians, they said, we're so tired. We are so tired. So I'll end with the quote that I started with from the Downtown East Side. Religion is for those who are afraid of going to hell. Spirituality is for those who have been there. Amen. Thanks be to God. Okay.
Let us take a moment to reflect on the experience that the Reverend Sally McShane shared with us today. Let us give thanks to the Lord and Father for being with her and bringing her safely home. Among all the tragedies, there is light. Our God is a loving God who is merciful, patient, and forgiving. Help us, Lord, to understand that you see all, hear all, spoken and unspoken, and know all. As creator of all that is, we can look forward to awe as we are the stewards of in his name. Our faith is like the mustard seed that many of us have heard in our lifetime, both as children and adults. It's such an insignificant little seed, but when planted, it has the opportunity with God's love, it has that opportunity to grow into something that lasts time. When it is nourished, it grows. And growing, we will win this battle over tyranny, oppression, and the loss of human dignity. Our God is a loving God . We pray for our leaders in the United Church, for Bruce, for Carrie, and for Sally. We pray for this community and all those who give their time and gifts, and that combined much to the others by way of friendship, support, and above all, love. We pray for those who individually face poor health or disability or loss of a loved one. And not to be forgotten, those who care for them, who quietly need our prayers. Lord, hear our prayer, and let our voices come to you.
Join me in the powerful prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Mother, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us offer to God who we are and our authentic self and all of our gifts. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you are the fountain of living water. You alone relieve the thirst in our lives and bring the peace that passes understanding. Please turn our offerings into refreshing water for all your people. In Christ, amen. If you're comfortable, stand up, please. And close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, begin to be aware of this lovely, beautiful blessing that surrounds you. All around you is this loving spirit that says, "My precious child. My precious child, I love you. I understand you. I am with you always." And taking that blessing, go into the world and celebrate and dance and sing and share that God is love, God is love, God is love. Thanks be to God. Amen. There is room for all.